Hey, this is Sarah, Sam and Casey from Just Another Murder Podcast.
We are three Aussie ladies chatting about murder and making funny jokes.
More like bad jokes.
Inappropriate like jokes.
Sorry.
Go listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find us on Insta, Twitter and Facebook. Okay.
Bye.
Catcha.
See ya. Bye. Bye.
This is an American Crimecast production. Visit us at our new home at accproductions.org. Remember, everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
You're listening to Mysterious Circumstances, hosted by my dad.
Hello, I'm April Simmons, and yes, I run the Mysterious Circumstances. It's like an online magazine that I have on Facebook, and I share things that I find interesting about paranormal and unsolved crimes and similar stuff, and we did not know a damn thing about each other until I started getting his traffic.
Yeah, I was so funny because I remember I was looking on Facebook one day and I was like, holy shit, there's a magazine? I was like, that is fucking awesome. I was like, and goddamn, I should have looked at this before I chose a name, I guess, but I don't know.
I don't even know. You could have existed first. I'm not sure. I'm not even sure.
It's hard telling. So how did it? Oh yeah, it's all good. It's definitely awesome that we have like obviously the same shit going on. That's like really awesome, I think. But how'd you get into the paranormal and stuff like that? Or anything mysterious, I should say.
Stuff started happening to me from a pretty young age that I didn't understand. So I kind of always sought out that understanding, like. I've always been a critic, even on the stuff that's happened to me. Like, I've kind of, like, been hypercritical, like, I don't know what just happened. I just know something weird happened. I don't know the actual explanation for it, but I've always sought out that knowledge because it intrigues me. And also, my grandmother, on my dad's side, was a self-proclaimed medium.
All right.
Really into the paranormal, so
that's cool.
Starting when I got to a certain age, she shared stories with me and things like that too.
That's cool. I actually have in my Facebook discussion group, I have a couple mediums in there, and one of them does a podcast called Psychic Sleuth. She's got a pretty good list of credentials, man. It's honestly really impressive, but. Yeah, that shit is definitely pretty intriguing, I suppose.
For a few years, I was a medium for a ghost hunting group.
Yeah.
But they were a little bit more scientific based. Basically, the only thing they really used me for was to point them in the right direction. Like, okay, where should we set up our stuff to catch something?
Oh,
you know, like
okay.
They used me kind of as a compass, basically.
Oh, I see. Kind of. Didn't really care for that too much, or
they just wanted to be taken more seriously, I guess. So that's why they wanted to lean more on the scientific. Usually, clients he didn't tell that I was a medium or anything like that. Like,
oh,
he didn't
okay.
Tell them. He would usually also not tell me anything about the client or the case ahead of time, just to test me every time too.
Oh, of
to
course.
See what I would come up with, you know, like what. What I would know based on just walking in and walking around, you know.
Yeah, that is very, very cool. That is very cool. So, I guess we're going to talk, do you have, actually, before we get started, I guess, do you have any, personal stories of shadow people or anything like that? Because, I mean, this is...
I do.
Please tell me.
I had the classic Catman.
Yes, yes.
A fedora, and what appeared to be either a trench coat or a long cloak or something along those lines. I just ran him. I woke up in the middle of the night. He was standing in the doorway, which it was a really small room, so he was basically at the foot of my bed. And there was a light from the window, and I guess this is one of the odd things when I think of it retrospectively. There was a light from a shop a few doors down. There was a shop, and the street light shined in my window. And though the street light shined directly in his path, I did not see any features of him. He was still black like a shadow. And so that's the one thing that was really odd to think back on. Like, he didn't light him up at all.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Because that's the one I was...
I thought, at the time, I just had that sense of dread and thought, there's someone in my room. And I was paralyzed for a few moments. Like, I wanted to scream for my parents, and I couldn't. You know, like, there was that few seconds that he was looking at me, standing there, and I just couldn't move or breathe or do anything, you know?
Yeah.
And then when I did manage to stumble out a scream, my parents came up. He ran back down the hallway, and my parents were right across the hall, and when they got over there, of course, he was gone, and they thought I had a bad dream. But they did search the house, like they went around and searched the house, and when they got to the front door was actually ajar slightly.
Huh.
And outside on the front porch, there was actually somebody had put out a cigarette butt, like right outside the door.
No shit.
And nobody in our house smoked, and... None of my parents' friends even smoked that were around regularly anyway. So it was just really an unexplainable event. But my parents said, you had a bad dream. That's just a coincidence. Go to sleep, you know. But years later, I asked them about it, and they admitted that they were actually terrified by that.
Really?
They didn't think it was anything paranormal. They thought somebody had broken into the house and just was staring at me. They just thought it was really creepy, but they did believe that something had happened, but they told me that they thought it was a bad dream because they didn't want to freak me out.
That is crazy. That is crazy. And that's what I've been reading a lot about is that Hat Man. It seems to be pretty prominent, I guess you could say, in a lot of the experiences. That and the connection with the sleep paralysis.
Yes. I had heard of shadow people and had even heard of the Hat Man, but I guess it didn't really freak me out until I watched the Nightmare documentary on Netflix.
Yeah.
Which is about, like, the sleep paralysis and all of that stuff, and when the people described, you know, the Hat Man and how he acted and how he just stood in their bedroom and watched them. And then, I mean, that really hit home with me. Like, everything they were describing and saying was just like, oh, my God, that's exactly what happened to me.
That is so creepy. So,
I know.
So
But I don't necessarily feel like it's sleep paralysis. I really don't.
Yeah, I could. I don't really think it is either. I mean, from what I've read and stuff like that, it's, I don't know. It doesn't really make too much sense, I guess you could say. I mean, it does, but it doesn't.
It doesn't in all cases. I really believe that there probably are some sleep paralysis cases where people are seeing stuff. But I feel like it's not relevant in all of these cases because people are seeing them in other places besides their bedroom and, you know, public places.
Yes.
And things like it. It just doesn't make sense.
Exactly. And I've read a couple and heard a couple stories of people seeing them during the day, too, which, you know, it's...
Yes, and I have some friends with those experiences as well.
Yeah, so. That is pretty interesting right there. But I guess, I don't know, let's, I I guess we could touch base a little bit on some of the history, I guess, of shadow people. I think the first one I seen, like, that was fairly well documented, I think, started around in the 1940s. And before that, I think there's written documentation of it from the late 1800s. But it's apparently...
But it comes up in all cultures,
yes,
pretty much.
Yes,
as
it does.
As far back as history goes.
Yep.
Egyptians, Romans.
Yeah.
Medieval times, they thought that it was the soul of witches.
Yeah.
That was separate from their body.
Yeah, and I've heard them called phantom monks before, from medieval times, too. But it's so interesting just because it does go that far back. And obviously, like, one of the huge theories is the sleep deprivation. You know, like, I guess, I don't want to say a lot of crackheads, but... Like a lot of people who, you know, get on the drugs, been up for a few days or so, you know, they report.
Well, I've even heard that a lot of people think it's because of our culture nowadays being on so many antidepressants and things like that, too.
Yes.
Why we're hearing more about it.
Yeah, exactly. Nowadays. And it was really weird because the first thing I tried researching was... whether it was one of those things that just started, when the internet, like, I'm a pretty big guy on the stories of, like, black-eyed kids and shit, and
yeah.
I've noticed there's not really too many stories before the internet was invented, you know, and it's like, man, it's like, bring me a little history and a little bit of validity to this. It's like, it's such an interesting, you know, all the stories are so interesting, but it's like, I don't want it to be one of those internet hoaxes, you know?
And I thought it was an interesting thing because I kind of did a little bit of research myself before we were doing this just so that I would have my facts straight. But I thought it was interesting that the actual term for shadow people came from the Coast to Coast AM show.
Yes.
I thought that was really interesting because I listened to that a lot throughout my adult life.
Oh, man, me too. I used to work second shift and I'd get off work at like 11:15 and it'd be like, I can remember it was like a 10-minute drive home for me, and I'd sit in my fucking driveway and listen to that shit, man. I wasn't so much into it during the Art Bell days, but I've gone back and listened to those episodes. For me, it was George Norrie.
When I first got into it, it was Art Bell, but then it transitioned into George Norrie, and I've listened to a lot of both, really.
Yeah, that's super cool. It's super cool. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a weird topic because it's kind of all over the place. But I guess, you know, it's, I suppose, how do I put this? Different kinds of shadow people, I guess we could say. I've heard of the top hatted man. I've heard of the red eyed shadow people. I've heard of shadow animals, mainly cats. I know there's a couple more, but right off the top of my head, I can't really think of any.
There's some that are just like a mass or a blur.
Okay.
But most are just an indistinct human figure in general. Even the ones that have the red eyes or the cat man or whatever.
Yeah.
Most of those are a humanoid figure, but I've also heard of alien shapes too.
I've heard a couple stories too of people being able to touch it. I read about one story and actually heard about it on another podcast as well, about a person reaching out to touch the shadow person and said it felt like a soft velvet type material, like his hand didn't actually go through it or anything like that. But that was really the only account that I could find of somebody physically trying to, I don't know, not really make contact, but trying to actually touch something. But yeah, it's...
I have, you know, you were talking about it but kind of being all over the place. I have friends that don't really even believe in paranormal stuff. but they know that I'm into it and have come to me privately and said, I saw this. I don't know what it was, but I thought, you know, they didn't feel comfortable sharing it with anybody else, but they knew that I was into that sort of thing. So they came to me to ask about it and were surprised that they knew nothing about shadow people. Like they had the experience, but they didn't know anything about that other people were experiencing that.
That's really interesting. That's really, really interesting, especially as looking at it from a skeptic, because I recently did a big 4-part series on Edgar Cayce, and I got the it got really interesting just because of the things that, you know, history has said and skewed a little bit, and I had to research it as like a non-biased. I mean, obviously, I have my personal opinion, which I'm pretty sure everybody got the hang of. I mean, there's things that he could do that there's absolutely no explanation for, you know. But at the same time, there's a lot of vagueness in some of the things that he did. And like, as you know, as a skeptic, it's kind of awesome if a skeptic would like come to you and, you know, and just be like, hey, I don't believe in this shit, but I saw this, you know what I mean? But, I don't know, I suppose, what are your thoughts on some of the theories, I suppose?
I think all of them are viable in certain instances. Like the sleep paralysis, drugs, you know, different things like that. Or even the, I forget how to pronounce this, the pareidolia?
Yeah.
Which is the people just kind of catching things that are, you know, normal people can't hear or see, that kind of thing. Like the man in the moon thing, like they're perceiving something that may or may not be there, that they are perceiving themselves that are outside of the norm. I think all of those things are viable to individual situations, but I don't think they explain the overall phenomenon. To me, the one that makes the most sense is the interdimensional, just because there are some that don't seem to interact or even notice us.
Exactly. And that's so like,
I think that's the one that makes the most sense to me. I don't know. I can't say that it's 100% true or anything like that, but it's the one that makes the most sense to me.
Yeah, for this, and that's the same here. Like, I've heard, what is it called? The peripheral drift illusion, to where you know, a stationary object in the corner of your eye, you know, would seem like it's non-stationary or move, you know, within your peripheral vision. Yeah. But the fact that people have tried, at least one person from what I've read has tried to not so much interact, but kind of. And then the fact that it's happened during the day and people, you know, was straight on. Like, the interdimensional is probably my, I don't want to say favorite theory, but it is the one that makes the most sense, I guess. But of course, then that would bring up the rabbit hole of if they are shadow people in that dimension, then are we shadow people in their dimension? You know what I mean?
I am. It's possible.
It is.
But I think that since there have been a few cases, although it's more rare of them interacting or even just watching, it makes you wonder if there are some that are specifically traveling into our dimension, you know, and some of the others are just accidental. You know, they've just wandered into a thin space in between the dimensions or something and don't even realize it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And that's the only thing that bothers me about the interdimensional theory is the fact that probably the most reported is the Hat Man with the fedora and the cloak or the trench coat type clothes. Like, that's the only thing that really kind of bothers me, I guess, about the interdimensional, unless it's like straight up the same motherfucker, you know, like every single time. But,
yeah.
You know, I've read reports of, you know, this said shadow person, you know, sleep paralysis-wise, like, choking people, you know, and it's like, I don't know, it's hard to differentiate between, you know, being half asleep and half awake and having, I don't know, like those half in and out nightmares, I guess you could say. I mean, personally, that's not...
And I'm pretty sure everybody has had those experiences where it may not be as extreme as somebody choking them, but, I mean, I think everybody has had that half in and out of sleep, I don't know what just happened kind of thing. But for me, the shadow person incident was different because I did scream, my parents did react. I don't feel like I'd just woken up, you know, like I... And when I screamed, you know, he ran and my parents came, so obviously I did scream. So,
yeah,
I guess it just didn't really add up to me that I would have been asleep.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's so freaking interesting. Because, like, me personally, I grew up in a haunted house when I was about 16 or so. We moved in, and, you know, we had a bunch of shit happen. Like, I mean,
I'm living in a haunted apartment currently.
That's anything kick ass happened?
I've been living here like a month. Yeah.
Anything awesome happened so far, or scary for that matter?
Mostly just noises, and it's always around the same time, about 5 to 5:30 in the morning.
Nice.
There's always some sounds, and I can't find a, you know, technical or reasonable explanation for it. Hmm. It's usually between that time, but not really a specific time. It's just usually in that time frame.
Nice.
So
it could be something residual, maybe?
Yes, and I did find out after I started experiencing stuff, I did find out something. But I also have been having something grab my foot while I'm sleeping.
Oh,
and
man.
I would blame it on my husband messing with me, but it has happened when he's not here.
That's why... That's why I sleep with my fucking feet under the covers, because of that fear right there. I'm 36. I still jump to the bed, like, because I'm worried about shit underneath my bed, you know what I mean? Like,
I sleep with, like, okay, Netflix has a fireplace thing where it just plays, like, some light music.
And oh, really?
Fireplace. I play that when I go to sleep, because especially now, like, I already kind of did that sometimes anyway, to kind of block out things, but I pretty much can't go to sleep at all now because I go to sleep around the time that those noises start happening. So, because my husband works third shift, so that's about the time that I go to sleep. And basically, so I've had to start doing that to keep me from concentrating on the noises and stuff happening. Like, I have to have a distraction from it or it bothers me. And it's like, not a lot of things scare me that bad because I've seen a lot of shit in my life, honestly, and experienced a lot of weird shit. But I kind of try to block, I know some people embrace it, but I kind of try to block it. Like, that may not be the best thing, but it's just how I deal with it. Like, it's not even that I'm really that afraid, it's just like, I don't want the negativity, like, especially if it's something negative, I just don't want that in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a person that has depression and anxiety, and I'm like, I don't need that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need that added stuff in my life. So most of the time I try, and then most of the time I'm successful at blocking things.
Okay.
At this point in my life.
Yeah, learn to block it, yeah. Now, what's out of all the shit? Well, I guess before this, do you have any?
Okay, I need to finish up the story.
Yeah, yeah.
What I found out about.
Yeah.
We basically live in a converted garage apartment. The landlord got drunk one night and told, only a few weeks after us moving in, he got drunk and told us that his wife was in prison because she shot his son.
Holy.
And that happened on the back patio, outside here. So I'm like, oh, crap, that's probably who's pestering me.
You should have.
I'm an older man, so I'm assuming that the son would have been an adult, but I don't know any more details.
Yeah, it would be really interesting to find out what time that all happened, you know what I mean? Because if it was between 5 and 5:30 in the morning.
Right, to bring it up with him, since he only mentioned it when he was drunk. Yeah. So I was kind of like, it's probably a touchy subject. Yeah. I don't want to approach that with him, but I don't know any more details other than the fact that she shot him on the back patio.
Wow, that is a seriously interesting detail. Do you have any anything about your notes on Shadow People that we have not touched on?
Well, I did make the list of kind of what the explanations were. There was a few that we didn't touch on.
Yeah, let's do it.
Out-of-body experiences, angels.
Out-of-body experiences.
That it's the dead in purgatory.
Really?
Not a ghost per se, but the dead that are in between
realms, or
that are kind of they're kind of on their way to hell, basically.
Okay.
The ones that are, yeah, and then of course, you know, imagination and drugs and time travelers.
Ooh, yeah.
Because of the hat man being that the hat and the fedora and the cloak or
trench coat,
whichever you want to call it, that is kind of out of time.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
Unless you're a total hipster. Anyway. that's interesting because I'm totally into time travel as far as pop culture. Like, I've done Doctor Who and things like that, like a pop culture thing.
I'm very much into it.
There's also a theory that it's just people projecting their own negativity.
Oh, that's actually a really interesting theory. Kind of like almost like a poltergeist scenario, or something along
like
those lines.
Scenario, but they're projecting it from their own negativity, bad things going on in their life, and fear, and you know, just a combination of that stuff.
Okay. No, I like that. It's actually not a bad theory right there. But yeah, I can tell you right now, I'm like deep into time travel. Like, the Philadelphia experiment got me hooked. Like, once I got into Montauk and all that shit, I was like, I lost years of my life reading about that. Like, good lord, man. But I'm going to send you a really cool link about a Russian time travel story.
Did you remember the one about the weather balloon in the, was it the North Pole or somewhere in the Arctic?
No, but please tell me.
I can't remember all the exact details, but I read about it. It's a weather balloon that came through in the Arctic. Like, it disappeared, I believe. It was Arctic North Pole, somewhere in that general. Really cold. Really fucking cold area.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact detail. But this weather balloon that they were using to measure just weather and atmosphere stuff disappeared. And when it came back, it was like the date and stuff on the machinery was registering like a date that was in the 40s or
Oh man, that's actually really interesting. I'm gonna probably.
I've read up on that a little bit. It's kind of a harder one to find, but I think I actually heard about it on Coast to Coast, and then I went and found it and read up on it. But I found that was fascinating that it was like actually the government doing this experiment just for weather purposes, and then, you know, it comes back with a completely different date, you know?
That is actually really, really intriguing. And now, like, when we're done, I'm probably going to spend a couple hours reading about that. Yeah, that's for sure. The one that I had was, I can't remember his name. I think it's like Sigori or something like that. I'll send you a link when we get done. It's super interesting. And basically what it was is this guy in Russia, he was out with his girlfriend and they were taking pictures and whatever else. And this was in the 1960s, I want to say. And what happened was, is the very last photograph he took, it was a picture of what looks like a spaceship, all right? And then he disappeared. Like, even his girlfriend was like, he literally vanished. Well, at that exact time, like 40 years later, it was in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, he appeared, and the Russians took him into custody. They took him into jail, and they questioned him. He had the camera, and they did the pictures, you know, and they were looking at him, and they're like, this is like a real camera. And like they looked at the very last picture he took. Well, they took him into custody, and from there, there's a video of him being in they put him in a nut house, and there's a video of him in this nut house, and he literally vanished from there, and nobody knows what happened to him. And they tried hunting him down, and they got a hold of the woman that was his girlfriend. They found out who she was because he was telling them, you know, what happened, and he had no fucking idea what was going on. And you know, she's like, yeah, this is what happened. Like, he totally disappeared. And they showed her, like, video and pictures of him from when he reappeared. And she, like, pretty much freaked the fuck out. And, you know, yeah. And he, after he vanished, he was never really heard from again. Like, that was pretty much the end of the story. It's really interesting. I will definitely... I'll definitely send you a link and you can check it out. I think you'll find it pretty fascinating. I don't know why, but I'm like so...
There's another one that you may have heard of. There's a guy, I think it was Colorado, that was wandering in a blizzard.
Yeah.
I believe his vehicle broke down and he wandered into an old west town. And it says Tom.
I'm probably going to have to look that up.
He left and he never could find it again. He can never find the family.
No shit. And see, and that's like an awesome... Yeah, that's an awesome thing right there, too, is like the towns or cities. Because there's been a lot of stories of, you know, not so much time travel, but time slips, I guess you could say. And people, you know, I know there's a lot of different stories where people be driving down the road and, you know, it's... They get passed by a car with, you know, 1940s car, you know, people in it dressed authentically and all that good shit.
Did you ever see you probably have
the chick on the cell phone?
The lady with the phone?
Yeah. That is really interesting, and I've heard and read a couple people who try to, I don't want to say they try to debunk it because their theory is, like, extremely credible, I guess you could say, and I shouldn't say theory, but they have an explanation for it, but at the same time, like, there's nothing that would even look like, you know, a cell phone.
That it was, like, some type of hearing aid and a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, yeah.
And those could make sense, but the way she's holding it and everything just looks like a modern cell phone. That's what's so trippy about it.
I know, and it's so fucking cool because they enhanced and cleared up the picture of it, and it's like, man, that is a fucking cell phone. Like, walkie-talkies back then were fucking huge, if they even have them. I don't even know if they had one.
Of course, there are pictures from, like, the JFK assassination of people that don't look like they're wearing period clothes. For that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of things like that that are just like, wait, what?
I know, it's so fucking trippy.
It's like there could be an explanation, but it's weird.
It's like...
You know, it's one of those things, like, we'll never really be able to explain it.
That's very, very true.
You can't really disprove it, so you can't really prove it either.
And that's,
it's just there.
And that's what bothers me probably the most about the whole Philadelphia experiment. Because, you know, the Navy is like, well, you know, that ship was never in this harbor at this time, and it's like, listen, guy, like, don't fucking tell me you can't go into your records and everything that you put online and just leave that shit out, you know, but the whole thing, the part that bothers me the most is when you have Albert Einstein and Nikola Tesla working on the same project together, you can bet your ass something probably happened. What happened, I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, something really, yeah, and I mean, Al Bielek and all that, I hate to, like, play the skeptic card, but in all reality, like, until they saw the movie, The Philadelphia Experiment, that was back in the early 80s, which is a fucking awesome movie, I still love it, but They didn't recall. They said all these memories were repressed, but the I guess on the flip side, the most interesting part is the amount of detail that they go into, and the fact that over the course of all those years, he was able to keep all those details straight and tell the exact same story over the course of like 20 years. You know, it's honestly kind of mind-blowing, and it's extremely intriguing, but I don't know, the whole thing with the time portal and, you know, the fucking Montauk Beast coming out of there and destroying the fucking lab and all this shit, it's kind of fantastical, but some of that shit's pretty fucking hard.
I've read up on all that stuff, but it's been a long time, so I don't remember all the details and all that org. Philadelphia Experiment or anything. It's been forever.
No, I totally get it. And I've obviously, like, listening to George Norrie and Art Bell and, you know, all that good stuff is pretty much what got me hooked on that. But I guess, so as a paranormal person and somebody who, you know, is into that kind of stuff, I want to hear, like, if you're willing to tell, like, some crazy fucking shit. Like, what is some of the wildest things that you've experienced? Like,
okay. Well, the scariest one for me.
Yes.
We were taken to a shack. The ghost hunting group, the leader of the group, got us permission to stay in this basically run-down old house in the middle of nowhere. Because it was rumored haunted. Like, you know, it's one of those houses everybody stays away from.
Yeah.
You know. But it's also very dangerous because it was literally falling apart. There were some parts before you couldn't step on because we're going to fall through the floor. We set up in, the living room area. And we kind of set up all our equipment there. And at first, it was just that creepy vibe, like, you know, it's a run-down old house. Of course you're going to feel like, this is creepy.
Of course, yeah.
Like, everybody was creeped out by it because he had, you know, got permission for us to stay the night. I'm like, are we really staying the whole night? Because I kind of don't want to. Like, it was just fucking scary. Not only on a paranormal level, but I'm like, are we going to fall through the floor and die? I don't know. You know, I'm not sure I want to stay here. And basically, we set up some equipment in various places, and then the group of us just kind of convened in the living room area because it was the biggest amount of space, and, you know, it wasn't falling apart to the point where we could actually all sit down on the floor comfortably, sort of, I guess, if you call an old rickety wooden floor comfortable. But it was probably a few hours in before I saw anything. We're just all sitting around talking, and we've got equipment running in other rooms and things, and basically, I saw, kind of like out of the corner of my eye type of thing, while we're talking, what looked like the figure of a burned man.
Hmm.
walk from across the, from a room across the hallway into the hallway and walk further down, which was basically there was a room that was down behind us. So that, I jumped up. I was like, nope. This bone man just walked into the room. You know, he walked down the hallway towards the room that came behind us. So I was like, no.
That is
like,
so
I think
crazy.
I'm done, guys. I don't know if I'm going to stay. And of course, they were like, we got to get proof. We got to, you know, whatever. And so they went and set up stuff in that room across the hallway, which was the bedroom and everything. And one other person ended up seeing the burn man that night.
That is cool.
And basically, after we did, you know, they did pack up early. We didn't stay the whole night. I think we packed up around 3 o'clock in the morning or something along those lines because everybody was freaked out. But afterwards, the leader of the group took me aside and said, yeah, the original owner of the house burned to death because his electric blanket caught fire.
Oh.
And I did not know that. When I saw a burnt-looking dude coming down the hallway, I was like, oh, Lord, why did you put us into this situation? Which, I mean, I guess that's what we're seeking out. But at the same time, there were certain situations that were kind of like, that we were able to handle a little bit more scientifically and,
yeah,
you know, just, you know, somebody has been hearing things or something like that. And a lot of those cases, though, you go in and it's literally the people are crazy. Like, I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
And when you're like, if your plumbing is making some weird noises and you're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's a lot of those cases. Like, a great majority of the cases are that. But then you get those like that one that you're like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Like, I don't really know. But that was one of the more creepy ones for me. And we had another house that we went in. It was a single woman and her son. And basically everything was happening around the sun.
Really?
Everything that happened was, it wasn't just him seeing and hearing this stuff. It was only happening when he was around, and the woman had experienced this stuff. So it wasn't just the kid making up stuff. It was, we honestly believed the kid was calling this stuff. He was like around 12.
Yeah.
So he was in that age range, mm-hmm, of puberty.
Yep.
That we're like, this kid's doing this stuff. He may not be meaning to, but he's calling. And it was like the electronics messing up and, you know, seeing shadows cross the room and sounds. And
so you guys...
But it only happened when the kid was there.
So you guys didn't think it was any kind of, like, attachment or anything?
It could have been because there had been people that had died there. And that's what she was thinking it was. Because her husband had died there. You know, house fire. And they had just remodeled the house and went on with life.
Huh. All right, then.
And also, it was like a family home, and the grandmother had died there of natural causes. So it could really have been either. But because of the next, even if it wasn't caused by the child, it was surrounding, whatever it was had to do with the kid.
Yeah.
Because everything that happened, and I saw, because a lot of it came from this particular room where they had their computer set up. They had their desktop PC set up. And the computer would shut off on its own and come back on, and there would be scribbles on the paint program, and they brought it back up and shit. Weird things like that. To do with the computer. So we set up a lot of equipment in there, and we got like a voice. I can't remember really exactly what it said, but we did get a voice that said something. It was kind of one of those guess what they said kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
Really indistinguishable. But it was something like, to believe it was something like you need to leave. You know, something along those lines.
That's pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome.
And I saw what appeared to me like a shadowy, to me it looked like deformed, a shadowy deformed hand that reached over the chair while the boy was sitting there.
Really? That is pretty.
And so I found that really troubling. Like, I don't know if it was perhaps the father of the father, or if it was something more demonic. Because that's what I felt, was that it was something more demonic.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it would appear that.
But it was a really interesting case where, like, I really honestly couldn't tell you what was going on in that house. It could have been multiple things. I really don't know.
That is super cool. That is super cool. I don't know. I
And also, I live in the South.
Yes.
And we actually did an antebellum home.
Oh,
a Civil War era home. And the people that were living there, it was their dream to own an antebellum home and everything, but they were being scared out of it. They were experiencing all kinds of weird noises and things. We got, basically it looked, we just randomly shot some pictures and video down a well in the backyard.
Yeah.
And there were red eyes.
No shit.
Yeah.
That is fucking cool.
And we also had some poltergeist activity. We got video of upstairs. We had just set up a tripod camera upstairs because that was where a lot of the shit was going on. So while we were actually interviewing them downstairs, we left the camera and nobody else kept there by itself. And just out of the blue, a coat hanger hanging on the door just starts swinging like crazy in the video. Like nobody's up there. And it wasn't just like it, you know, the door got jarred from somebody, some movement downstairs or something. It starts swinging, full on swinging on the door.
That is cool. That is crazy.
But it's, the story to me was the weirdest part of the story is that the woman, there was a woman and her husband, she was from Australia, but she truly believed that she was a reincarnated Civil War general, and
really?
That's why she moved here, because she thought she was from the southern United States.
Really?
Even though she was really from Australia, yes. She said she felt more comfortable here, she got the antebellum home, started raising horses. And yeah, I mean, that's who she thought she was.
Huh. What is your opinion on that?
I honestly don't know. She was very mentally blocked. Like, I didn't really sense anything from her.
Huh.
So I don't know if she was telling the truth or her version of the truth or... I don't know.
That's interesting.
Like, she was just really a blocked person. Like, I didn't, I usually am good at, I can't read people's minds or anything, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I usually am good at picking up on vibes from people, and I've also studied psychology, so I'm usually pretty good at picking up, like, physical cues when someone's lying, things like that.
Cool.
You know, and so, I didn't get anything from her, good or bad, like, nothing. So I was just weirded out. Like, I was like, I don't know if they're just crazy or, or if they're telling the truth. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know, man. Sometimes it's a 50-50 shot. All right. Well, I tell you what, I got one for you. All right. So when I was 16, we moved into this house, moved into town from the country and stuff. And there was, like, after we moved in, we found out there's a lot of stories, like, surrounding this house. And this is, like, one of the milder stories, I guess you could say. But the very first thing you see when you walk into the basement of this house is there are crucifixes painted on the windows down in the basement. And because of that, I mean, we kept a lot of our storage shit down there. I was pretty much the only person that would go down there and just kind of hang out. And it wasn't like a furnished basement. It was a straight up fucking, you know, smell like mothballs and you know, just fucking concrete everywhere. But it was really weird because you walk down the stairs. Like, if you walk into my one front door, we lived on a corner, and there was one front door where the kitchen was. And if you walked in through the kitchen, you'd walk in through this narrow hallway about, you know, maybe 5 feet long, and there was your basement door on your left, and then on the right, there was the washer and dryer and, like, a couple little shelves, and then when you keep walking forward, there was the downstairs bathroom. Well, you go down to the basement, the first things that you see are just straight-up concrete, and I mean, it's pretty, it was like a, I called it the dungeon, you know. But you walk down there, and it was really fucking weird because, and we never figured out why, but the back behind the stairs, like as you're walking down, you get down the stairs and you turn around, the back part of the basement was concreted off, and it was only to about eye level, and there was like some little window sections, and it was filled in with dirt up to those window sections, but it was all concreted off, so I don't know what was back there underneath the dirt, and that went probably like 5 or 6 feet back. And then, you know, as you're going down the stairs, if you look straight ahead and to your left, whoever had the house, it was bricked off again with concrete or whatever, and it was like the corner section was out and or was blocked off, concreted off, and that was also filled in with dirt, but that was you only had, like, one little section that was maybe a foot by a foot that was, like, a window size, and then that was filled up with dirt, too. And that was about eye level as well. Well, of course, like, our fucking dogs wouldn't go down there. They were freaked out. Like, the only people in the house that would go down there was me and the fucking cat. And the cat, I deemed him killer because he was a mouse-hunting motherfucker. But, so we're, I was walking by the, I was walking into the bathroom, passing the basement door on my left, and it was like an older wooden door, and what would happen was the cat would go down there by itself all the time and do whatever, and if it heard somebody, it would run up the stairs and it would scratch on the door, and you would open up the basement door, and it would run up and start eating or whatever, and I was walking by and I heard that scratching sound, and I just kind of opened up the door, you know, just a little crack, and I was like, all right, killer, you know, come on up, and didn't hear shit. So I waited a few seconds, and I closed the door, and I was like, all right, whatever. So I went to the bathroom and came back out a couple minutes later, and I go to pass the door again, and I heard that scratching sound on the door, except this time the scratching sound was, like, a little bit harder, and it was, like, a longer drag. So I'm like, god damn it, cat, you know? So I open up this door, and I open it wider, and I'm like, you know, usually the cat just zips right up through the door, and I held it open for about a minute or so, and I'm like, come on, cat, you know, let's fucking get up here, you know, it's late. Like, just kind of standing there, and I was a little bit perplexed, and I go to close the door, and as soon as I close the door, behind me, where that washer and dryer and the little shelves were, that's where we put the cat food and the cat water. And I heard this crunching sound. And I was like, I turn around, the fucking cat's sitting up there on the shelf just fucking eating, just looking at me like I was fucking stupid. And I just kind of like, I just kind of just looked at the door and looked at the cat. And I was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm going to bed. This is all about all I can handle for the night. But that scratching noise was pretty crazy. But it's really funny because there's a really... I got a really good story about a guy in a fedora, because we lived on, like I said, a corner street, so we had the street light out on the corner, and technically we had two front doors.
I'm just curious, where are you located, or where are you from?
I am located outside of Fort Wayne, Indiana, up in the very northeast corner.
The only place in Indiana I've really been to is a place called Fort.
Where the hell is it?
I was in a big movie.
Shut up, really? That's awesome. That's cool, though.
Called It Came From Papa. It actually has Saint Rhea.
Shut up, dude. That guy is my fucking hero. I love
him. He's like a B-movie actor, like the guy that played Eddie Munster and Linnea Quigley and a few other B-movie actors are there in it. I was just an extra running from, you know, alien attack and this guy that really isn't there. So you're having to, like, look at this guy and run and scream when there's really nothing in it. But I just thought that was interesting.
That is pretty interesting, actually. Oh, dude. Yeah, I am...
Like some Elvis.
Yeah. I am a diehard Hank 3 fan, though, and I actually got the three coffin nails tattooed on me. That's how diehard of a fan I am. Because that dude...
You get to meet him on the set. I'm not sad about that, man. I'm actually a fan, too.
Oh, but dude. I never...
My ex-husband, the soundtrack has him on it, and it also has my ex-husband.
That is very cool.
Rockabilly
Vampire. Hell yeah, dude. That is fucking cool, man. Yeah, I always liked Hank 3 because he pretty much just does shit his way. And he don't fucking care. And I respect the shit out of that. But yeah, so it was me and one of my sisters, and we were sitting in the living room. Now, since we were on the corner... Let's say you walk in that kitchen door and you go through the kitchen and take a left, there's like a little sitting room, and then you take an immediate right and there's the living room with the TV and stuff. But there's also another front door right there. So we were sitting in the living room, and we had one of those hollow wooden, like little porches out front. It wrapped around to both front doors. You know, we had about waist-high railing out there and stuff, and we had, like, white thin curtains, so, you know, the streetlight kind of shone in pretty good. And we were sitting there one night, and, we heard the screen door open, and we heard the doorknob kind of rattle a little bit. The door was locked. We're like, you know what? You know, it's like, my sister's like, you got anybody coming over here? It's like midnight. I'm like, no, it shouldn't be nobody coming over here. And, I go to look, and, you know, there ain't nothing there. I was like, you know, probably the wind or something, whatever. And I go sit back down, and a couple minutes later, the screen door opens up wider this time, and the doorknob rattles even harder. And I'm like, I go to look, we had one of them front doors with, like, the half moon on the top of it, you know, and for, like, a little window. And I, like, kind of looked through there, and I didn't see shit, but then I saw the screen door closing. But you can hear, like, when somebody's walking on that front porch. So, I didn't hear anything, so I'm like, alright, you know, that's a little weird. So I go to sit back down again, and, the third time I actually heard a couple footsteps. Just that hollow wooden footstep, like heavy boots. And I heard that door open, and that doorknob just started fucking rattling like crazy. And my sister's fucking freaking out. She's like, what in the fuck is going on? I'm like, I don't know. Well, before I could really get up, we hear footsteps, and we see this figure, like, walking past the, on the porch, and you can hear it, just every footstep, just clunk, 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 and... Since the streetlight was out on the corner, you could see the silhouette of somebody walking, like, on that side of the house, and then they turned the corner out on the porch and start walking past the other window, and it was a bigger-sized dude, and it wasn't so much a fedora, but it wasn't a cowboy hat either. It was, like, right in between. It had the wide brim all the way around, and it's literally, like, a second and a half to 2 second, like... you know, walk from the living room to the kitchen. So I was like, I'm going to meet whoever this is, like, on, you know, at the kitchen door and see what the fuck's going on, because obviously somebody's trying to get in the house. And their butcher knives are on the sink right there, just like, you know, right there within arm reach of the kitchen front door. So I go to rip open the kitchen door and grab, you know, the first knife I could grab in my hand. And I rip that door open, go outside, nothing, absolutely nothing. So basically, within like a second and a half, this person who was walking slowly on our porch apparently jumped the front railing of our porch without making a sound and like disappeared into fucking thin air. And that was the one I've still never really been able to write off. I was like, that's kind of fucking strange, you know? Just a little bit, but I don't know, man. It's pretty, I don't know. I get into that shit, though, so.
I have tons of personal stories as well, still more professional, I guess you could say, stories, too. One of the houses that I was in with my first husband, we bought an old house that had, like, I don't know if you know what it is, but the tongue grooved wood walls and everything. It was built in the 50s, I think. And it was an older man that was disabled, and his sister that took care of him. And basically, when we didn't know any details about them when we lived in or anything. Basically, just only a few weeks into living there, I left the room. And this is just my significant incident. But, I left the room. Like, the kitchen was, it was like at the end of the hallway, there was the kitchen, the bathroom, and the master bedroom. They were kind of interconnected through the hallway, like the end of the hallway. Basically, I walked from the kitchen to the bathroom and back within mere seconds. I don't even remember if I was like getting something out of the bathroom or what, but I walked from the kitchen to the bathroom and back, and every cabinet and drawer was open. Second, there's physically no way that any person could have done that.
Oh,
especially without me. I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
It reminds me
of that.
My husband was asleep.
Was he? Oh, that's so great. Reminds me of that scene from Poltergeist where they go into the kitchen and everything's stacked up and everything.
Yeah.
It's like seriously badass. Oh, man.
So that was one of the experiences there. We also, there was a basement and an attic. So it was like just a very creepy old house. You know?
Very cool.
The basement I really didn't ever have any issue with. However, anybody that stayed with us, our guest room, the closet was stairs to the attic. Like, it wasn't the pull-down ones. There were actual physical wooden steps in the closet that led to the attic. And basically anybody that stayed the night there usually had a story about footsteps, that in the closet while they were trying to sleep. So, things died down for us because we lived there for a couple of years. Like, at some point, I think I just said, like, I've just flat out said when I was at home and alone in the house, like, look, I know this is your house and everything, but we're not leaving.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And things got down.
Yeah, had to establish dominance.
I think he was still there, but I think he stopped trying to spook us because he realized we weren't going anywhere. Like, I really think it was the old man, and I think he didn't want us in the house at first, and then he just gave up.
Oh man, that's
right. Fuck it, whatever. I guess they're
safe. Yeah, fuck it. I might as well. Shit, that's fucking cool as hell. But I guess. God damn it, this was fun, man. I had a.
I have three more stories, but if we can do another one,
I say we yes.
We can just wrap it up and.
No, I say we totally do another one in the future, because this is, like, so fucking fun. Like, usually I'm all talking about, like, unsolved murders and disappearances and shit, and, like, I've done...
I can do that, too.
All right, good. You know what? Yeah, then, I tell you what, we'll, I know you sent me some links about some cases down there. Anything unsolved? Anything paranormal, murder, disappearance, anything at all? Anything that strikes your fancy? Like, we'll fucking do it to it, man.
There's one particular case that's unsolved here that everybody talks about. And so I would love for somebody to get a new found look at that, because everybody has a theory, but it's always a similar theory, because everybody believes she's buried under... There were several things that were under construction at that time. And so everybody thinks she's buried in one of those under the concrete. There was a new high school that was being built. There was an apartment building not far from where she was living. There was the mall. Everybody's like, she's buried under the mall food court, you know. And it's like, okay, guys. Well, I agree that any of those are possible, but that's not the point. We want to know who did it.
Exactly.
But everybody pretty much assumes that it's family, because her mother just doesn't move off. And you just don't do that when she was never found. Her body was never found. What mother just, unless she knows that her child is for sure dead, what mother just moves away like a couple of years later? Like, just goes and moves off to another state. Like, to me, she knew that that child was dead. I'm not saying she did it, but she knew that child was dead.
Oh, man.
That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking shady, to be honest with you. That, you know what, we can do that one if you want, and
we can do more paranormal stuff in the future, if you want.
Yes.
Like I said, I still have a ton of stories.
Good.
Personally and professional, I have a ton.
I am totally down to do that. Like, this was like so much fun. I was like, I don't know, I was enjoying your storytelling there. It's pretty good shit. But yeah, dude, I definitely agree. We should definitely do this again. Like, just hang out, chit chat, do some stories. But if you want to get down to the nitty gritty and you know, investigate a case, man, we can do that too.
I'm a writer myself, like, I'm an author.
Yeah,
I'm actually published.
Well, let's actually
the songstress on Amazon. It's available on Amazon.
Awesome.
It's actually a vampire story, but the majority of the stuff I write, like short story wise, is actually about serial killers and murders and rapes.
Well, you know what? Like,
your stuff interests me.
You're speaking to the right audience, so right now, go ahead and sell yourself. Like, tell us about how people can get a hold of you, your Facebook, like your books that you've written, and all that good stuff. Because those kind of books right there are what my listeners fucking buy.
April Simmons, the songstress. You can find it on Amazon. You can look me up on Facebook. Just type in April Simmons, and I think it's April Simmons formerly for you, because that was my previous name. I've done indie films. I do music. I do a little bit of everything, honestly. But yeah, the writing is my true passion, because that's kind of part of all of those things. Because I've written scripts and I've written songs, lyrics, and So, yeah, writing is my true passion, and I'm actually working on a fantasy erotica novel right now. I'm not sure if anybody would really be interested in that, but I do plan on putting out a book of short stories, and it's, like I said, it's about serial killers and rapists and murderers, and anybody that sent a few of my short stories to friends, and they're like, my God, I can't believe a chick wrote this. You are messed up. Like, I've had people that have known me my whole life are like, that is twisted.
Yeah.
Like, I did not know you had that in you. Like,
yeah. That's like a lot of...
And I'm just like, that's how I get that stuff out.
Yeah.
I honestly think, and this may sound really terrible, because I have a terrible... I've had a lot of tragedy in my life in general. And I think, honestly, if I was male, I probably would have been a serial killer.
Yeah.
I truly believe that. And that's really messed up to say, but...
You know what, though? Here's the deal. Like, you're fucking straightforward enough to actually admit that shit. You know what I mean? And it's... it's a sad fact, but like that's, you know, that's a lot of the psychology
of doing those things. Though I like them.
You're right. That's cool as shit though, because that's the thing. Like a lot of my listeners, they like this show because I am very, very adamant about details and research and all that good stuff. So, you know, if you're on board with the details, then hell yeah. Like, I don't see any problem. You know what I mean? It's fucking
awesome. You probably
awesome.
Have to, like I said, I don't know the details myself. I have read up on that case a lot. There's a thread about it on Reddit.
Nice.
And there's other articles around the internet and stuff. So we probably both have to do some research.
Yeah, I'm totally cool with that. Yeah, we'll definitely do that. We'll fucking do some more paranormal stories and all that good stuff, too, man. I had a good time today.
Oh, yeah.
All right, April. Well, I suppose thank you for coming on and doing this with me. We pretty much share the... Yeah, hell yeah, it was.
Stuff that interests me. I like hearing their stories, too, so it was great.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, I suppose you have a good rest of the night, and I suppose I will
kill some stuff with video games.
what
a normal 40-year-old does.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that, because I'm 36, and I'm probably going to watch some fucking Family Guy or something of that nature here in a minute, so oh, yeah. I ain't here to judge nobody.
I'm like a nerd. I'll have my culture
blog
too.
I'm
do a little bit.
So. That is kick ass. Well, it was a pleasure having you on. We will definitely do this again. Definitely for sure. Here actually sometime soon too, because I know my listeners are probably getting tired of my mystery and paranormal episodes, and they're probably ready for some murders and disappearances. So. So I will.
I'll be happy to do it.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
No, don't thank me. The pleasure was all mine, and I'm glad you had a good time and felt comfortable enough to come on here and share some of your stories. You know.
Yeah.